This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Sarah Gardner. From time to time on Marketplace, we follow a story that's not quite done. We watch an idea, a project, or a business come into being, sometimes all three. And that's what our friend Alex Chadwick is doing, following a scientist working on a new type of battery that's not quite there yet. Here's Alex.
Amy Prieto pushes past the door to her chemistry lab at Colorado State University and pauses for a moment. Three grad students cluster over a table. Another makes calculations on a glass board along the back wall.
The reason I love this space so much is because it has all of the equipment that you would need to make new materials.
Flasks, beakers, long black benchtops. It doesn't look much fancier than a high school chem lab. But this is where Amy is working to invent the future of energy with what she calls a 3D battery.
A normal battery is what we call 2D. It's layers of material that get stacked, and then typically they get rolled to make like your AA battery.
Like a sheet of paper.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you take a sheet of paper and then you put a paste on it. You can think of it like paint. And that'll be one of the active materials of the battery. And then you add another layer and another different colored paint for the other side of the battery, and then you roll that together.
The movement of charged particles within batteries, they're called ions. That's what creates electricity. A 3D battery shortens the distance the ions travel. Instead of layers, Amy Prieto uses an airy construct called copper foam.
It's just like a sponge you could think about. And then we paint all the inside spaces with the different materials that you need for the battery. So instead of the ions having to go only in one direction to get from one layer to another, they can go in many different directions, but they don't have to go very far. So that's what I mean by a three-dimensional battery.
Okay. So if I had a Prieto battery to run my cell phone, how would that experience be different than my experience today?
So instead of a day, lasting a day, the battery would probably last a day and a half to 2 days. But instead of it taking an hour to two to charge, it would take probably 5 minutes. What the people who make your phone will care about, so you would never see this, but what they would care about is that the battery itself is going to be about two-thirds the volume. So they can put a lot more functionality into your phone. Or you can imagine using the same size battery than as a regular battery now, but now it really will last 2 to 3 days instead. So you could think about it either way.
But, and this is a capital but, Prieto batteries are not about phones. They are about new battery architecture for phones and cars, and eventually for large-scale energy storage. Wind and solar energy will only really work when there's some kind of backup for when the wind dies and the sun sets. That's probably the biggest barrier to renewables, no storage. And that's the problem Amy Prieto is trying to solve.
From the very beginning, we made a list of all of the equipment and approaches that we were not allowed to use. Anything that could potentially be expensive.
Professor Prieto is hardly alone in her quest to reinvent the battery. Other players include General Motors, Bill Gates. She thought about them very carefully when the battery idea moved out of the lab and became an actual business.
So remember, I don't have any experience in manufacturing, but if a piece of equipment is expensive for me to buy in my academic lab, I'm assuming that a manufacturing plant built around that will have to be expensive. And that's actually going to be very important because every company in the world is trying to make batteries cheaper. And I was just assuming that if I am starting in my academic lab today, it's going to be several years before I could get this into the marketplace. So by then, the big companies will have driven down their costs as well. So I figured I better start really low. Otherwise, we won't be competitive by the time we get there.
The non-toxic part. Gone are the dangerous salts in a lithium-ion battery. Gone the volatile manufacturing process. Her battery uses chemicals like citric acid, which is common for preserving food.
The citric acid idea. My student, James, thought of that. I told him, I want this out of water. I want it at room temperature. I don't want you to use anything toxic. But he's the one who had this very clever idea that I thought was amazing. And it actually worked, which often when you come up with these crazy ideas, they don't work. I mean, most of science is things not working. But he made that work. And that was the platform for the whole rest of the battery.
which doesn't exactly fix things because the whole rest of the battery still has formidable problems. The Prieto researchers are working on them, so are other researchers, of course. Who knows who will get there? But in a year of our calling to check progress on various milestones, the Prieto group has hit the ones they've projected.
I think everybody wants better devices, they want organic food, they want better treatments for diseases.
Amy Prieto, in her small office upstairs from her lab, where her crew has checked off another milestone. She's not ready to say what it is yet. Scientists are careful, and so are people in startups. And she is both now, a research chemist who means to find the future of energy.
But all of that takes fundamental research, and that research takes quite a long time. And so I think communicating that sense of timing is very difficult. I'm not sure scientists necessarily do the best job of that.
We'll check to see how the Prieto battery is developing. From Bern, this is Alex Chadwick for Marketplace.
Alex Chadwick is the host of Bern, an energy journal from Sound Vision Productions. It's produced with APM with support from the National Science Foundation and the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. If you want to see pictures of Amy Prieto's lab, just go to marketplace.org.